Good morning. Welcome to Pathways Podcast
number
135.
Good morning.
It is June.
Does that count as singing already?
This is just how I normally say good morning.
That is not how you normally say good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hear that walking down the halls every morning of the way.
Every morning,
here
huh?
Here comes Steve. Oh. Singing good morning.
Hello. We can't bring in a choir of angels, so I'm the best thing
you're the
yet.
Best we've got.
Yes.
Oh, it's good.
How was everybody's weekend? Good weekend?
Great.
Good weekend. Celebration service.
It was celebration
Sunday.
Yeah,
no, it was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was great. It was very, you know, it's very tiring. And then when it's over, you know, it's a good feeling that it's over. But it's amazing while we do that. And I don't know. Obviously, I was a part of this decision-making process, but having a congregational meeting on a celebration Sunday it was a lot.
It was a lot.
But that's okay.
Yes.
I mean, it was good. It was good. And it just all lined up with our schedule and everything like that. But it was a great, it wasn't just the celebration Sunday. That alone would have been great. But the congregational meeting was just wonderful too.
And, yep.
Yep.
You know, people are extremely happy. We got to, inform the congregation that the building is officially paid for.
Yay.
Nice.
And we have no more note on the building. And I said to the congregation at the meeting, I said, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being generous and faithful.
Definitely.
And I'll say it to anybody else that contributed, not just to the budget, but to the building itself. And, mm-hmm. and even in the last couple of years, we've spent a lot of budget money on paying off the building too. So mm-hmm. it's exciting time to be in.
It is.
But you know, like a year ago, you saw this all coming. You saw the sending network beginning.
Yep.
There was just a lot of prophetic about what God was doing. We knew the building. The fiscal year. Our goal was to get it paid down and get it paid off, and all those things came to pass. And so, just a good feeling. So I went home Sunday afternoon after the congregational
feeling
meeting.
Pretty good.
I was just kind of like,
yeah.
Did you take a nap?
I took a nap.
Yeah.
And I went to bed early. And I took a nap on Monday. So, it was great.
Sunday, too, we elected new elders and deacons.
So. New elders and deacons.
Meeting.
Yep.
It's good.
Yep.
Future leadership of the church. It's good. Yep. Take us into the...
Introduced Nick Cummings as the new executive board members. Ken Cordes is going off the board.
So that leaves Rod Van Zuulen and CJ Osborne. And then Nick will be coming on.
Yeah. So we'll have a meeting.
Know who that is.
We'll have a meet our meeting in July. We'll have all the four. Mm-hmm. And then that'll be Ken's last meeting and Nick's first meeting. And so it's good. Yeah.
It is good. It's good good to see the future leadership, the future of the church is in good leaders' hands, and
amen.
We're headed in an exciting direction.
Good direction, that's right.
I've said this at the congregational meeting. My only regret is that you can't, and maybe if in the future they decide to expand our consistory, but you know there was just not everybody that was in the pool of eligible elders and deacons got voted in. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that they put their name in the hat again next year mm-hmm. and
definitely
continue to do so, because they were both great lists.
Yes.
Everybody
mm-hmm. yep. fantastic.
Would make
couldn't go wrong.
We're all great candidates and they're great people, and you know, any one of them would have, I mean, we're just blessed with
we
that.
Are
yep.
we're
very blessed with
we
that
amazing people. So
and was Sunday also when you were recognized?
It was.
Yeah.
It was a surprise to me. So
you recognized Marcy
Steve
for
was
her...
like, stay up there. Wait a second.
Yeah. Did you call it ordination?
She was ordained, yeah. Yep. By the sending network.
Through the sending network.
And you had a picture.
Yep. It was good.
Picture
of,
so
the picture
of us
was
praying
from
over
when
Marcy.
We were at the sending network and that prayer time when our leaders who were there got to come up and pray for me. And
so technically you are at this time truly a reverend.
So are you.
Well, I don't have a master's of divinity. Doesn't the reverend go with the master's?
But you're ordained.
Well, I am, but I'm Pastor Steve.
So, and you're Reverend Marcy.
Steve. Or, you know, Steve or Pastor Steve is fine.
Yeah.
Rev Marcy, something like that. We'll come up with a catchy nickname.
Oh, I'm sure.
I want it noted though that that picture of us praying.
I have no doubt.
I am in that. I'm there.
In the picture. You are.
I'm there. You can't see me.
You can't see you.
Dave Wagner.
But you're there.
Was right next to me.
You're right behind. Gotta
get. I thought when
maybe you can see like the top of your head.
A couple things that were in that picture. One was I love that background of that lion.
Yep, there's a lion in the
background. And then, but the other thing was is that you know Todd was in that picture too. Yeah. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yep.
And he did pray for. He prayed for you. And
yep.
He did.
You know that's the kind of stuff too that I just. I love that.
Yeah.
And you know, and for anybody that doesn't know that you know Todd is. This amazing leader, and he's served on our consistory as an elder, and you have his full support.
Yeah, definitely.
And so exciting to see all that come to pass. So,
yeah,
it's good stuff.
It is.
Excited for the future.
It is.
All right.
It is. Lots of good things. Right. So, and our high school youth got back from their work trip last week. So
yes.
They were
what did you hear
in
about
Kansas
that?
City last week.
You had a son that went?
Yep. I had a son that went and I heard they did a lot of weeding.
Weeding?
So, yes.
Okay.
Weeding
of gardens? Or?
Weeding of gardens. Yep. Good. And working in some gardens
put
and
them
that
to
kind
work.
Of thing. And put them to work. That's right. Yep. So
that was always whenever, you know, my if I ever said I was bored,
yep,
in growing up, that was the oh you're bored,
right? I have a job for you.
Guess what? There's weeds out in the driveway that
there's
you can go.
Always weeds.
You can go now. Just pull the weeds. I'm like, well, why don't we just spray them? No. You got to get them out
right,
by the root.
Right. You
got to
get the root.
You got to get the root.
Sit there on the gravel, picking weeds
pull
on
the
gravel.
Weeds.
Yep.
So,
well, I talked to another youth on Sunday morning and asked him how it was, and he said it was amazing.
Yes, yeah, that was the feedback that I heard too. Was just
good.
It was a really powerful, spiritually powerful time for them, and I think there were a lot of youth that it just helped to put things in perspective again, and whether it was kind of recommitting to God or, you know, I had a youth too who was like, I want to get baptized. And I'm like, that's awesome. Let's talk about that.
I sent
that.
Him your way.
You did send him my way. Yes.
I said, you see that gal over there? Go tell her.
Yep. So, yeah. But so God is just really doing something in the lives of our youth. And
well, a big thank you to all the volunteers.
Yes.
And
all the leaders. They take off work from their jobs. They use their vacation time from their jobs to go on mission trips like this with our youth for a whole week.
Yep.
They're gone. They left Sunday afternoon and got back Friday afternoon. So it's a whole work week that they take off. And
for all of
that,
I mean,
vacation time. And
it's just not 1 week a year. These are leaders that are investing year round.
Year round.
On Wednesday nights and the kids and, you know, in communication with them throughout the week at times.
Yep.
And so, and even for the people that gave, right, to help this mission trip be possible, thank you.
Yep.
It's obviously having an impact on these kids and bringing up the next generation of believers. So it's exciting stuff to see our youth on fire for the Lord.
So. It is. It's good. So, they got back on Friday and it was a great trip.
Yep. Absolutely.
God worked in powerful ways. So,
praise the Lord. Well, let's get into the message. We had two verses from Colossians 3, and we had the
we
celebration
also had
service.
Deuteronomy.
Yeah, but we had a celebration. You had a lot to squeeze in at the 9 o'clock.
I did.
Service.
Yeah.
The eleven was a little different from the 9, from what I hear. I was here for the 9 because I was helping with
the
baptism.
It was very similar. Same scripture and same.
Yeah, it was a lot shorter, obviously.
Yeah. At the 9 o'clock, yeah.
I expounded a little more.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things you started off with was this idea of self-help and going to the bookstore and seeing the self-help.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is this realization, of course, that, I mean, I don't think that anybody... I mean, I know we all have our blind spots, but at the same time, I think we're well aware of where we lack and what we should be. And, you know, and maybe we dismiss it or we ignore it, but kind of the big idea, of course, was that, you know, what we're looking for is the power to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say the motivation, but the power ultimately. And so that's kind of and so that kind of launched into the whole thing about let the message of Christ and all its richness fill your lives, and then you know teach and counsel each other with the wisdom that He gives. And so it was this idea that, you know, deep down inside we kind of know what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Um, We just need to fill our lives with Christ, because he's the power to do what we ought to be doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the question was how do you get to where God is calling you? Well, we have to fill ourselves with Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, let it fill our lives. Let him become the center point of our life.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of him being kind of the cherry on top of the sundae, he becomes the sundae.
Right.
And so everything is done in mind with what it means as far as what he's calling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
That if you were going to tell me what is probably the biggest difference between a mature Christian that's doing things for the kingdom of God and a kind of a fence sitter,
mm-hmm.
the fence sitter still has themselves
yes.
as the center of their lives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now they may have faith in Jesus, but they haven't yet kind of transitioned into that place where now Jesus is the center, and he's the standard by which you evaluate everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can remember this summer when we kicked off the men's event and we talked about, you know, the different men in the Bible. The question I asked the men was, what's the biggest hindrance of getting to where God wants you to go?
Mm-hmm.
People were thinking, well, it's, you know, Satan, it's the enemy. And the answer is, it's ourselves.
Right.
Right.
We are the biggest hindrance to getting to where God is calling us to go.
Yep.
And it's really our own selfish desires, selfish intention, getting in the way of really going all in for God. So,
well, and if you do get out of the way. If you go all in for God, for Christ, and you make him the center of your life, then people start using that kind of cult language.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, those are you're kind of extreme in that. But it's like, that's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
And if you don't do that, then you're not doing everything that you're supposed to do. And you can't blame God if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, if you're not getting the results that are in the scripture.
Yep.
It's really up to you.
Yeah.
And that's the big part about it.
And when you go against culture, I mean, it's going to be seen as extreme, right? When you love others more than you love yourself and you put others ahead of yourself, like that's considered extreme in American culture. If you give generously instead of hoarding and keeping and, you know, buying all this stuff for yourself, that's considered extreme in our culture.
Yeah.
And so you are going to be seen as extreme if you live for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good place to be.
It is.
Yeah, no, I know. If you're going to be extreme anywhere, that's the place to be.
That's right. Yep.
Right.
So. Go all in.
Extreme grace.
That's right. That's my word for the year. Grace.
Well, that's grace. Good, though, because
thanks
like,
for adding the word extreme on there, Aaron.
look at our culture. Again, all the division and the hate and the anger and everything that's being spewed out.
Right. There is have a conversation about anything.
Grace.
Right.
In our culture today. And so your word of the year, grace.
It is grace.
To have extreme
my word
grace.
For the year. Yep. Is it?
That's you extreme, know, though.
So I got my hair cut this morning, and I'm sitting there in the barbershop, and, you know, you get the barbershop talk going.
Yep.
And I always get asked these questions. And so I get pulled into these conversations. And one of the conversations was about, you know, COVID and all these mitigate. And I just told people the story about how we here at the church just decided, you know what, let's just treat everybody like adults.
Right.
Let them do whatever it is that they feel like they should be doing.
Yep.
Just this crazy
idea. And be okay with that. Right.
You know? And it's like, so if you, you know, if you want to play it safe and you define playing it safe as these areas, then do it.
Right.
But don't get mad at people that disagree. And that was the part that was that I've always thought was so confusing is that, so if what we, the problem on both sides of the debate during COVID thought that everybody else should be doing what they're doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, but there was this group of people that said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you're going to do and just leave me alone.
Right.
Right. And I'll leave you alone.
Yep.
But for some reason we just couldn't do that.
Right.
And, you know,
but I think that same mentality has continued, even if it's not wrapped around the issue of COVID at this point.
We've become so polarized.
There was something in that in the last 2 years where the issue at the beginning was COVID, but there was something in that that was like a mentality shift within society in general that now it's that same approach with whatever topic
whatever it is.
That you pick for the day, you know? And so, but that's where part of that polarization, I think, has come from.
And I'm a firm believer. I'm a pastor. I believe in the Word of God. I believe that God, you know, I believe that, you know, whatever God says is good is mm-hmm. good. And I believe in the depravity of man. I believe in all those things. But at the same time, I'm not concerned with behavior modification. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about with heart transformation.
Right.
And so, you know, it's almost like as a pastor, people want you to, you know, take a political stand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, y'all know me. I have political views. But I just believe that what you're after when it comes to the gospel is people's hearts.
Right.
And, you know, so you don't let that all that other stuff get in the way.
Right. Because if the heart is changed and transformed, yeah. then you want it. Yeah. You want to choose what God wants. You want to yeah. choose what he says is right. And it's not just this, oh, here's what you have to do or feeling right. of being imposed on you. You want...
I think one of the worst places on earth to be is in a place where you are trying to act a certain way, but your heart's not in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Right.
And which it will not last.
No, it won't.
Eventually it'll blow up in your face.
Right.
And you know, sometimes you see that where, you know, you impose rules on in things and you do all this stuff and you know, maybe people initially comply to it because they don't feel like they have much of a choice, but eventually they wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm not gonna do this anymore.
Right.
I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, if they are lacking the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to help them and to guide them, then it just becomes oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to be real careful. You still speak the truth. You still speak the truth in love. But at the same time, if somebody says, well, I'm not going to do that, it's like, well.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to back up for a second. We're talking about this angst against each other about almost taking sides or teams. And as we were sitting here talking, I just this thought came in my head. In America, have we... fallen subject to an unhealthy competitive spirit because we grow up
we want
and it's all about win, right? It's and you know, I think about growing up and playing sports, it was like it wasn't fun unless I won, you know, and I feel like we've had this competitive spirit instilled in us year after year that maybe we're starting to see it manifest itself and trickle in unhealthy ways that is causing division. And like you said, we double down and side with our team and it's all about winning with our team. And I mean, look at what we're seeing now and even little kids athletics, high school, they can't get people to umpire. They can't get people to referee because parents are so unruly and out of control at times.
Yeah. But I think that's also indicative of the fact that, you know, I mean, we are drifting further from God as mm-hmm. a society. And I do think that part of what grounds us and keeps us from going down to the abyss as a society is our faith in God mm-hmm. and his word that kind of keeps us grounded. But mm-hmm. but now we're just drifting further and further away from that. And now we still have the same human condition. And the human mm-hmm. condition is that something in our lives is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, in the past, you could sit down with somebody and you could kind of lead them to the Lord by telling them, you know, that thing that's missing in your life.
Right.
But now people have reached a point where they're now so far from God
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't even come into their thinking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As a possibility.
Right.
To be the solution. And then they immediately start thinking about all the Christians that, you know, have offended them or mm-hmm. the things that they've said or certain issues. And it still comes down to that idea that I think every person out there knows that in this world, something is broken. Something's mm-hmm. not right.
Right.
And what's the solution to that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your kid winning a little league game? Is that going to make you happy?
Right.
So let's say you're yelling at the ref and you're screaming and the ref says, okay, fine. You know what? I'll call it your way the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Game's over. You go off. Is your life fulfilled?
Right.
Are you satisfied?
Fully satisfied.
Or does it get worse?
Right.
And, you know, I think, you know, when, again, let this message of Christ in all its fullness fill your lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm, I can be a little competitive and pretty vocal and, you know, at sporting events, but at the same time, my identity is not wrapped up in whether or not my kid wins.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So to bring it back to your text too, from Sunday in the Deuteronomy text, I think it was verse 20 maybe, but it talked about the key to life.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that phrase, because we're like, what's the key to life? Like, everybody wants to know, right? It's was it Paul in Acts or something talks about like the secret to contentment but the key to life in the scripture says is to love and obey God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we search for all things in all places to fulfill those deepest desires that we have, that we think this and that and whatever it is going to fill that place, but it's not. And the only thing that fills that void is God, and to love and obey God.
I love too that it says love and obey.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there's a lot of people say, oh yeah, I love God.
Right.
But they don't obey it.
Right.
He says for them to do. Now, maybe they want to.
Right.
But it's still a struggle. Mm-hmm. Obedience is a struggle.
But there's a difference between that desire for obedience and just a complete disregard of, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do.
Well, can you imagine if Todd says, oh yes, I love Marcy.
Right.
I love her. But then you never talked.
Right.
He never really, you know, cared about what you thought about things.
Right.
He never really valued your opinion.
Yep.
You know,
he'd be like, no,
you don't really love me.
Well, the other word in there too is commit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a commitment that goes along
firmly
with it.
To him.
Yeah.
The reason we obey is because we're committed to following him, and a commitment. Man,
let's talk about commitment.
Well, I just think it's so easy to say I'm going to commit to something and then not like that. It's not even a commitment. It's just words, and they're like actions show our commitment.
Well, I think people are committed to some of the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm committed to my political party.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. You know, that's an area where you should kind of hold stuff loosely, right? I'm committed to this politician who's running for election. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's no problem having your candidate that you want to vote for, but to be so committed to them that like you're willing to overlook anything that they do wrong,
mm-hmm.
or not be honest about who they are or all these things. It's just crazy. But we're committed to the wrong things, but we're not committed to the right things.
Right.
And that's.
The other thing I would say along those lines is actually before the podcast, we were talking about the difference between values and ideals.
Mm-hmm.
And through the journey class, it walks you through a process of identifying what are my values and what are my ideals. But your ideals are those things that you're aspiring to. But your values are the things that you're actually putting action behind. So we talked about, too, just the idea that, you know, I could say, well, I value being generous. Well, do you give?
Do you
give sacrificially? Do you? And if you don't, then that's an ideal.
Yeah.
But it's like if you're making intentional effort to start being generous and to give, and you're like, you know what? I want to give 10%, but right now I'm at 3, but I'm going to work up to 4. And when you're intentionally putting those steps in place, you're working towards it. And so it is becoming a value in your life. You're showing that you value it because you're putting that obedient step towards it. But I think a lot of times what happens is people say, oh yes, I value this or I value that. But really, those values are actually ideals, because they're not putting the time and the energy and the action into whatever it is that they need to do for it to like manifest in their life, you know?
Right.
Talk is cheap.
Right.
You know, the actions reflect what you truly value.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And that's a character issue.
Right.
And, you know, as you go into leadership, those two should start coming closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's developing character. So character is that your values and your ideals are converging,
mm-hmm.
and they're becoming closer in line with each other. There's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's also called sanctification, but it's, you know, building that godly character, maturing in the faith, all of those things. And that's kind of one of those little intangibles that it's hard to explain to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But yet at the same time, it is what it is. And
mm-hmm.
so it's imperative that it's happening and playing out.
And that's exactly right. Playing out the process of going through it. There's going to, you talked about this on Sunday, there's going to be falls. We're going to stumble, right? But what do we do during that stumble? We say, okay, this is a lesson learned. Pick back up and keep striving towards Christ. Or do I fall, drift away, and then I, what you say, double down.
Right.
And say, you know what?
Spin the narrative in your favor.
Right. I'm going to conform God into my image instead of letting God conform me into his image. And so,
which a lot of times includes a lot of blame, right? Yeah, like it's other people's fault. It's clearly them. It's, well, did you do what you were supposed to do in that? And
well, that's the part that's difficult, is that it's difficult when you have a set of values that somebody else doesn't share.
Right.
And it's difficult to have the grace to give them time to develop them. But still at the same time, it's still the same process where we have to have that discussion where it's like, you know what, your values and your ideals aren't in a line here. And you need to, you know, bring that before God, because that's just not going to work. And so, you know, it doesn't make you a hypocrite if your values and ideals aren't in line. It makes you a human being.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what God wants to do in your life is bring them together. And that's what he's going to do over time. So at some point, you've got to obey.
Right.
And obey God in a place where normally you wouldn't have. In the past, you wouldn't have. But now it's a different story.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Yep. And you know, to top it all off, I mean, just to top off all Deuteronomy chapter 30, is God says, you know, I put these choices in front of you. So here's your choices.
Choose today.
Blessings or curses, life or death.
Choose life. Choose
life.
Yep.
It gives you life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, and you know, if one thing the Old Testament teaches us, and especially in Deuteronomy 30, it has repercussions for your children. You know, that was one thing. That was one thing about my dad, is my dad's character, his values and his ideals were pretty much in line. And I think the best, I think the strongest people that you meet, that's the case. They don't just talk the talk; they walk the walk. You know, that is this picture, and if God's trying to build character in his people, that's a big part of it. Choose this day. Blessings or curses, life or death.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So good message. Two verses out of Colossians, and we'll be back into Colossians 3 this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
Talking about marriage. It's
going to be a great message. That's right. We're going to talk about marriage.
It's exciting stuff.
That's it never is. Convicting.
Never.
It'll be good. It's a good message we all need to hear.
Even though my wife and I would say, you know, with all these years of being in ministry and just life in general, my wife and I have a pretty good marriage, like a really good marriage. But I'm always convicted. I'm always
convicted. There's always something when you preach on it.
There's always things where you're like, ugh, I can do better.
There's always room for improvement. I can
do better. My ideals and my values are not quite in line yet.
They're getting there.
They're getting there, though.
Yeah.
Someday it'll be perfected.
Yeah.
There you go.
Part two. Let's talk about the big decisions this week that came out of the Supreme Court. Obviously, a lot of discussion in the media and just in different circles and in communities. And so the first one being Roe v. Wade being overturned and the decision being handed back to the states.
Yep.
And Iowa being a state that has already made, I guess, not changes, but has tried to change access to abortion and the legality of it. And so, you know, I was reading some quotes earlier from Mother Teresa and the quotes that she made after the Roe v. Wade decision first came out. And she blasted it, and she said, you know, how can we expect people not to kill each other when we give permission for mothers to kill the babies in their womb? And she said, that is not love. And so some powerful words. And she also came out and said, give me your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't want them, I'll take them.
I will raise your children. Yep. Give me your children.
Yeah.
And so obviously a lot of, I don't know, just different emotions on both sides, and extreme happiness and extreme frustration from different people. And, you know, I'll say from a personal standpoint, before I started following Christ, abortion did not bother me. It didn't. And then I had my first kid, and I've grown in my faith, and it bothers me. And I value the life of my own children and the lives of those unborn children in the womb of mothers. And so my heart has changed over the years, and I believe that's God's changed a lot of things in my heart, and I believe that's one of them.
Yeah. Well, and I would echo that completely, and I think that so just to, you know, just the whole thing in general. First of all, I want to say that what's interesting. So we live in a time. I don't know. Maybe schools were different when I grew up, but they taught us. I mean, I can remember reading the Constitution, and I can remember actually having a class talking about the way our government is set up and all these things are set up. And, you know, the way that it was designed to be set up is that states were kind of, they're almost like these little countries, right? And in the Constitution, it basically says that whatever laws are passed in each state has to be ratified by the other states. So, for example, your driver's license is good. You don't have to get 50 driver's licenses, right?
Right.
Or you don't have to, you know, you don't get married in one state and then you're not married in another. There's there's this connection. And somewhere along the line, really within the last 100 years, everything shifted to where it became federal government. So federal government, if you wanna pass a law, you gotta pass it at the federal level. And you gotta do, you know, all this stuff. And you know, so what I saw, so if you just take the whole issue of abortion, set it aside for a minute. What I saw was complete misrepresentation of what happened, and people bought it. People bought it. It was, you know, that you're losing your constitutional rights. Well, first of all, there's nothing in the Constitution that talks about abortion. You still have the state laws that are in effect. You know, why does it need to be a federal law? You know, all this stuff. But that's where it needs to be discussed. Now you bring into the idea, you know, abortion and, you know, what it is. And, you know, for some reason, I'm not going to get into the whole incest, rape, or welfare of the mother debate. Statistically, we know that's a very small number, but it's still a real issue. I mean, you know, I can only imagine if my daughter was raped or my wife was raped and you know, she became pregnant. So these are real issues. What a lot of people have an issue with is abortion is birth control. That gets it into a new realm that is like, now, wait a minute. You know, the simple fact of the matter is that, you know, there's a lot of things that are connected that precede abortion, things such as broken homes, broken marriages, sexually transmitted diseases, all of these things, they never talk about them, but they're just running rampant in our society. And so somewhere along the line, there has to be also a discussion about the morality of sexual intimacy. But all that aside, I believe that, you know, I believe life begins at conception. I believe God is involved at conception. And I believe even when you have two people that are dishonoring God, there's something in that that God still inhabits, and there's still things that happen. So, you know, we didn't get rid of abortion. What we got rid of is basically allowing it in every state because it's a federal law. Now it's up to the states and the people of each state to decide. You know, one of the things I heard somebody talking about this that was, it's kind of interesting. You know, one of the things that's happened over the last 2 years has been this movement of people in America to other states.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you should have the power to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you allow states to make decisions, you're going to see the repercussions of those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to create a living environment within that state, and people will either want it or they'll flee from it.
Right.
Yep. Well, we're seeing that from the
and
whole.
You should have the right to happening. Do that.
The defund the police movement.
Yeah.
I was talking to a gal not that long ago that lives in rural Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and she said this place is not mm-hmm. what it used to be. Yeah. It is crime is rampant. Homelessness is rampant. It's not the place we moved to,
mm-hmm.
and.
If America as a country goes down the tubes, where do you move?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least if you give more power to the states and you have a state going down the tubes, people have an option.
Right.
You know, they can move somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
I want to stress too that even with the Roe v. Wade decision that was made, like there is no greater time. For Christians to be Christians than now,
mm-hmm. yeah.
because we have to speak to the hearts
uh-huh.
of the people. We have to go out and seek the lost. We have to share the love of Jesus with the hope that there will be heart changes mm-hmm. in people, just like God changed my heart
right.
to become more in line with him. Like there's no greater time than now.
And there's, mm-hmm. you know, and I want to be careful too, because to build on what you just said, as a pastor, I know quite a few Christians that in their past have had abortions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's tremendous regret and guilt mm-hmm. over that. And they carry this shame
mm-hmm.
and they have to know that Christ on the cross.
Yes.
Right.
It redeems all,
yes.
all things.
Right.
And so they're, but you know, somewhere in our debate, it becomes a lack of caring,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and you have to have an ounce of caring. You don't have to compromise your position to listen to others
mm-hmm.
and hear what they have to say, hear their story, mm-hmm. and care about them and love them and comfort them and pray for them and do all the things that you're supposed to do. But you're not compromising your belief system by listening to somebody who has mm-hmm. a different belief system,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that we would just kind of adopt that, because I do believe as Christians, a lot of what we do has to be relational,
mm-hmm.
and people have to see the fruit of living an obedient life. They have to mm-hmm. see, they have to be close enough to you to see that there's something going on in your life mm-hmm. that, you know, is a result of the gospel.
Right.
And that only comes through relationships and through mm-hmm. conversations. So. What's that? What's the saying that nobody cares what you know till they know you care?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big part of it as well. But yep. I, for one, I think it's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? I think that anytime you limit federal government power, I don't care what it is, I'm all for it. I'm just all for it. You know, it's like it was never meant to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Hash it out at the state level.
Yep.
Vote your state representatives in, local governments, mm-hmm. county governments. This is where you have more of a say
right.
in what goes on. That's where a lot of these things should be discussed. Mm-hmm. But they should be discussed with love, and we should listen to each other. But at the same time, you know, we can speak the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Anything else to add? On that part?
I think you covered it.
All right. Well, the second ruling that came out was about the praying coach.
The football coach, after
football games, he would go to the middle mm-hmm. of the field and pray, and players started joining him. And from my understanding, he was told to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And he refused.
Yeah.
And he was fired.
Mm-hmm.
Because of it, and they ruled no. This is a freedom of expression. It's a freedom of religion. He should be allowed to do this. And so, I know just reading a blurb, he was excited about that and excited to get back to work and advancing God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can remember praying before football games as an entire team. Like there were like. We all joined hands in the locker room and said the Lord's Prayer before the football game and ran out.
I remember in 1988 when, well, maybe it was 80, somewhere around there, there was somebody that objected to prayer at the graduation service. And the reaction was like, what are you talking about? Go away. It's kind of the reaction. And now it's just, we moved to this place where now people respond to that instead.
Right.
But
give a bigger reaction.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be people that object to such things. And I understand where a secular school wants to play things neutral as far as what they endorse. But this was a situation where this guy was just going off to the side by himself. And the kids wanted to start joining him. Right. And so really the only thing that bothered them was that it just got to a certain size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if it's one person doing it, it's okay. But if it's 50 people doing it, it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unconstitutional. You can't suddenly say, well, you know, 50 people gathering to worship is okay, but 500 people is not okay. Mm-hmm. You can't. And so freedom to assemble, I think, is a constitutional amendment.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But no, a couple of big ones. And then, there's another kind of a big one that's supposedly coming up. I can't remember what it is, but I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But
listen, we're blessed to live in America. We're blessed to have the freedoms that we have, but it doesn't change the mission of the church. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change what God has called us to do. And we've talked about this before. oppressive Christianity. So where we see the oppression of Christianity, we seem to see the raising of the Holy Spirit and more miraculous things happening. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of refer back to there's a documentary out there called Sheep Among Wolves about the underground Iranian church, and just seeing the Holy Spirit move powerfully in a nation where they have no freedom to worship Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he is moving. People are being baptized. Miracles are happening. People are being healed. It like amazing things are happening. And it's in one of the most oppressive countries in the world. And yeah, I don't know. I enjoy the freedom, but at the same time,
I heard a long time ago, in no time in the history of the church have they had both social influence and spiritual power.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go together.
Yeah.
The times that you have spiritual power is when you have your least amount of social influence.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're always walking this line as a church. And you know, I think it's time. I think we're moving into a season, where the church is losing its social influence.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you continue to do whatever you can to tell the whole world and be a witness. But then it's like, but at the flip side, you're like, well, the more we slip away from having social influence, the more we'll just have to rely on the power of God. So that's not so bad.
That's not so bad either.
And so, I mean, again, as a Christian, you don't really ever lose.
Right.
You know, you talk about a team that always wins. You're going to win. And so, the church will get smaller when it loses its social influence because people will fear man.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll more value, you know, as the church, you become more of an outcast in society.
Mm-hmm.
There will be those that's just too high a price to pay. I'm not going to do it. It's like, well, hey.
But the joy will be there.
Oh,
and
man.
The excitement and watching God move in powerful ways.
And the blessings of life.
Yeah.
I'm not saying financial prosperity, but, you know, God turns chaos into order,
mm-hmm.
and an ordered life and a life that, you know, generationally,
mm-hmm.
all of those things, pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah.
You bet.
So
that's good.
Come Lord Jesus.
That's right.
Right. Marcy.
You ready for announcements?
I am.
All right. All kinds of things going on. It's Wednesday.
I think we should get Marcy a bullhorn for now.
I'm so excited because I'm not loud enough already.
All right. Here it is.
What was it?
I'm fairly certain I'm loud enough.
When we were playing with the beach ball, Marcy's war cry.
The war cry.
Every time she had to dive or try to really go. Woo!
I hit it harder that way.
She did.
I did.
It worked. It was effective.
If I tried not to, it was like, bleh. Just didn't work. I hit it harder that way. So that was good. Right. So it is Wednesday. Tonight is Women's Ministry Week 2. And middle school youth is coming in. So our 7th and 8th graders, and that's kids going into 7th grade, 8th grade. And I think if maybe you just were done with 8th grade too, you can still come back and go to that this summer. So middle school's getting together tonight, and I've heard they're going to have some hot dogs and just a good time of fellowship. So
hot
it's going to be a good time.
Hot dog, hot diggity dog. It's a brand new day. What you waiting for? It is. It's the Mickey Mouse Funhouse. Anyway.
There you go. Okay.
My kids sing it all the time.
Perfect. Good. Aaron sings it. And then Friday is Operation Finding Freedom. So first Friday of the month.
First Friday of the month. If you're a veteran, come have some fellowship. Kirk Douglas is going to be leading the class. And yeah, he said last month was a good gathering. So.
Got elected elder.
He did.
Yeah.
Yep. New elder at the way.
Yep. And this is the Kirk Douglas. I know there's like some other Kirk Douglas out there.
Yeah, this is the Kirk
Douglas. This is the. Yes.
That's right.
Anyway.
So
you say that
Friday.
To somebody under the age of like 35, and they're like, "What is Kirk Douglas?"
My wife didn't know who Kirk Douglas was. That's because she was just waiting to meet the Kirk Douglas that goes here.
That's right. She's like, she knows the Kirk Douglas. That's right. So, and then services Sunday at 9 and 11, and Monday is the 4th of July. Tell us about the 4th of July, Aaron.
First of all, I want to say thank you for giving me some time during your announcement plug. This was a discussion beforehand that she wasn't sure she was going to give me any time or not.
Oh, stop.
Anyway, I've used all my time. But July 4th, we are having the parade. We're meeting at DMAC, and the parade starts at 9:30. So if you want to show up between 9 and 9:15, we still do need some candy. So if you feel compelled to donate some hard candy to the cause, we're going to be
not chocolate,
not chocolate.
Chocolate will melt.
What is that?
Chocolate bars.
Oh, never had it. But anyway, so yeah, you can walk. Just show up between 9 and 9:15.
Wear a way t-shirt,
and you can walk with us and wave.
We'd love to have you.
Get your steps in for the day.
That's right.
It'll be good.
It's going to be a great time. So that is Monday.
We the people need Jesus.
That's right.
That's our theme.
That is our theme. So it's going to be great.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Thanks, Marcy.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.
Is Captain America making a reappearance?
Ooh.
Not this year.
Does Captain America still have a suit?
I think we looked for it a number of years ago. Trish couldn't find it.
For the record, by the end of the Avengers series, Captain America did have a beard.
Hmm.
Oh, there you go.
I'm prepared. Yeah. Was it gray?
Did he always dye it again?
That's true.
Mercy, yeah.
Other things coming up after the 4th of July. So our Hope for Hurting Parents
group. We're moving on.
Our Hope for Hurting Parents group usually meets the first Sunday of the month. But since that would be the 4th of July weekend, this month they're going to meet on Sunday, July 10. So they will be meeting at 6 o'clock. If you're interested in joining them, you can sign up on our website and then we'll get you more information because they do meet off-site for that. So that is coming up in July. Also in July, our Men's Ministry Kingdom Builders is going to be starting a couple study. They're going to be going through the book of Ruth on Thursday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. And so you can sign up for that on the website as well.
That'll be good.
It will be good. Yes. And then next week, Saturday, July 9, is the prayer time. So our prayer team will be coming in and would love for you to join them or come in and receive prayer is also an option. So that's coming up in July. Also in July, we start Little Sparks. Some people are extra excited for our Little Sparks. So it's for kids who are going into preschool through going into kindergarten. And it won't be this Sunday, the 3rd, since it's the 4th of July weekend, but we'll have four Sundays in July, which is the 10th, the 17th, the 24th, and the 31st. So Alicia and her team are going to be there during the 9 o'clock service. And kids will go to the service. They'll stay for worship. And then at worship time, during that offering time, they'll get dismissed. Alicia and her team will be there to meet them and do some fun activities with them during the 9 o'clock service. And then parents can pick them up at the end. So We're excited for that in July. So thanks to Alicia and her team. Yes. So, and then our Spirit-led Work Ministry is meeting Monday, July 18th. So just so you know, that is coming up as well. And we have a pool party. Pool party is on the 15th of July from 7 to 9 p.m. at Maytag Pool. Fun for everyone. Woo-hoo. Invite people. It's a great event to invite friends, neighbors, family to. We'll have a little ice cream.
Or hot chocolate, one of the two.
We always hope that it's ice cream. That's right. If it's too cold,
which
has happened in the past.
You just never know, Iowa
in
July.
We've had to have hot chocolate, but we always hope for the ice cream.
It's like the coldest.
We still have the ice cream and the kids eat it. Their little lips are blue and they're shivering, but they're eating ice cream and jumping in the cold
water. That's right.
But hopefully this year we'll
have some K-Love music on.
That's right. Have a little K-Love.
It'll be good.
Yep. So...
good deal.
Other thing to mention is that we are in need of some meals for Discover Hope. So we commit to the fourth Tuesday of every month of providing a meal for Discover Hope. And so I believe that July is covered, and we're looking for some teams of people to fill in August and then through the end of the year.
We just did it last night.
Very good.
My family and
tell us how
Jamie.
Easy it was.
Oh, it was easy. We showed up and we... put stuff on a the hardest part was I made Rice Krispie bars.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And
that's impressive.
Eating your Rice Krispie bars would be the hardest part.
You made the Rice Krispie bars.
They were soft and chewy. Anyway.
Did you put in extra marshmallows?
Yeah, but it,
you didn't put chocolate
sticky.
Over the top of them? Just no. the regular old Rice Krispie
bars. I don't like Scotcheroos.
Okay. Sprinkles?
No
sprinkles.
Sprinkles on Rice Krispie treats?
Yes.
I've never heard
of
that.
Extra fun.
Funfetti.
That's right.
Anyway, the hardest part was like cutting the little squares. It was just sticky and
not
going
if
well.
You can cut Rice Krispie really treat squares, you can serve.
Or you
this
know what?
Hope.
You can take the easy way. My wife made M&M cookie bars, and those were really easy to cut.
They are. They're delicious too.
They were good.
Yeah.
I had one.
Very good.
Anyway, it was really good. It was really fun, and it was good. Just a good way to serve.
Yeah, absolutely.
And easy.
And Rock easy. On. Yep.
Yep.
So you can contact Jamie. You can contact the office. You can sign up online. We'd love to hear from you.
And Jamie made
all
an amazing
kinds of ways
chicken
to plug in
yesterday. Good job, Jamie.
Good. Very good.
Yep. All right.
That's it. That's all I've got.
That's it. Well, thanks for joining us on another episode of Pathways Podcast.
Another action-packed
135.
Lots of
only 15 more episodes until we're at 150.
And we still don't know what we're doing.
I know.
Are we doing something special for 150?
We talked about pedicures and manicures.
Yeah,
I think that's a great idea.
I've never had one,
Steve's
and I don't think I'm going to start
bleed.
Now. Although I've never had.
It's like the time hot... we had a staff meeting and we had wax treatment.
Did you get one?
He did.
I did. Not like
I
wax,
was not here.
Not
for
like
that.
Where they like pull your eyebrows off or something like that. I'm talking about you actually put like. Your hand in wax.
It's very relaxing, really? Don't you think, Steve?
I didn't get it. But you know what? The women loved it. It wasn't my idea, so that's fine. But, you know,
You sacrificed for the women.
I did it just
so
nice.
The 150th episode is coming up, and we still have to determine what we're going to do.
Hand waxing.
We do. Yep. So.
We'll see.
I
wouldn't mind trying. What's that thing where you put your feet in something, fish-like chew on your feet?
What?
Do like a fish pedicure?
This sounds terrible.
They eat the dead skin.
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it?
Oh, that's so gross. Ew. Is that like really a thing?
I think so.
Yeah, it's really a thing.
I thought maybe we could go axe throwing.
We'll figure something out. We keep talking about taking
fish
the show
to
mobile.
Eat the dead
so we'll
skin
see.
Off your feet. That's so gross.
Well, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
We'll see.
15,
lots of ideas
episodes.
Floating around here.
That's right. We'll figure
All
something
right.
out.
Have a good week. We hope to see you on Sunday.
Bye-bye. God bless.